mentioned earlier that our times of worship are not tedious. And of all of the feast days of the Old Testament that we no longer celebrate, it's because they're all fulfilled in Christ. And that would be a great study sometime to go back and look how every one of those feasts represent in some way the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say that every time we meet together around the Word, that it's a feast day that the Lord has given us to be able to open this Word and to contemplate what God has given as a record of His Son and to rejoice in who He is and what He's accomplished. But of all of the feasts, the one that the Lord has given us as an ordinance that we continually follow is what we're about right now. And that is celebrating His death. And the only two elements that He's left us are the unleavened bread and the wine. That is the picture that God purposed that the church, with whom He has covenanted through His Son, should celebrate in remembrance. And again, this is not tedious. This is something that, in reality, if the Lord so directed, we could celebrate every time we meet together. There's no condition put as to when. We have simply selected that at the last week of every month, that we come together, not only to celebrate the Lord's table, but share a common meal together. And we've been doing that since the beginning. And to me, it's always a joyous time. I had somebody ask me one time, well, how do you keep coming up with different things to say about the Lord's table? It's always the same thing. Well, every time it's new and fresh because it pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't come with a script. I don't have it written out as to how I'm going to speak on these things, but I just know that here in the Word, it's clearly declared that our purpose is not a ritual that we're going through. This is not some sacrament whereby in partaking now we become a little bit holier or closer to God. No. Here, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says simply in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." When people ask, well, why do you worship the way you do? We worship because that's how we have received it of the Lord through His apostles. And they have delivered it unto us. And that's how we practice. That's how we worship upon how the Lord taught them. And here it says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. This is talking about the eve before He went to the cross, the eve of the Passover. He took bread. What was on that Passover table? Unleavened bread, like I'm holding here in my hand. And not just any bread. I had somebody told me one time, well, if you can't get unleavened bread, just go down to the store and buy a nice Wonder loaf. No, it's to be particularly unleavened. Why? Because it represents the sinless perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always make the comment, as you look at the bread that you hold in your hand, it's got fire marks on it. That means it's been put through the fire. It wasn't that Christ just came to this earth to prove that He was sinless. It was necessary that He live a sinless life in order to be that lamb that was slain without blemish. And so, this is what Paul's describing here. And when he had given thanks, that's what the Lord did, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Now we know that no part of Christ's body was broken when they came at the cross to break the legs of those that were being crucified because they wanted to hurry up and get them off the cross. It was the Passover. Christ had already commended His spirit unto His Father and died. Christ said that, no man takes my life, I take it of myself. Such is the commandment I received of my Father to take it and to raise up again. But when it speaks here of his body being broken for us, it's a symbolic term of suffering, the crushing. Like Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And that's why I like to think about how unleavened bread is made. Because first the seed had to be sown in the ground, and that seed had to die, and then that seed had to produce wheat, and then that wheat had to be cut down, and then what did they do with the wheat? They took it to the mill. And put through the mill, that wheat was crushed into flour. And then what do you do with flour? You take flour and you bake the bread. Well, that's a beautiful picture of Christ coming, doing, and dying. And the mill, the breaking, the crushing, if you will, it pleased the Father to bruise him, was for that purpose, that by his suffering and by his death, that God the Father would be satisfied and he would be that perfect one. God couldn't have accepted an imperfect sacrifice. Any other sacrifice up to that point was imperfect, but it was necessary that Christ should fulfill it all. And so he did. But you'll notice it's not just his suffering, not just Christ coming in the flesh and suffering what he did. Had he come and suffered at the hands of men and then ascended up into heaven, there'd still be no salvation. Because the law, having been broken, required what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So it was necessary then that he shed his blood. Not that just some blood be spilt. I know some of the hymn writers use that term, and I always change it to shed. It was shed on purpose, like a lamb slain. That blood had to flow out. And when the blood flows out of the body, then it's death that ensues. And that's what was necessary. And that's really what this cup is about, represented here by the wine. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:25, after the same manner, also he took the cup. See, the unleavened bread and the cup were already part of that Passover meal. But now the Lord, out of all those elements, pulls these two out. And from here forward, this would be what we would do to remember his sacrifice. And it says, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Why is it called the New Testament? Well, it's because it's the fulfillment of the old. Something new is about to take place here, whereby the old will be done away. And now what remains is this testament. A testament is a will whereby Christ now is going to shed his blood for those whose names are written on his breastplate as the high priest. And it's the New Testament in his blood. He said, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in what? Remembrance of me. So if you're holding this cup, you're holding this bread, it's in remembrance of Christ, who he is, and what he accomplished. Very simple, isn't it? But what a time of rejoicing to think about who he is and what he accomplished. And that's why he says, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, that word means preach, proclaim, the Lord's death till he come. That's why it's not tedious, because it's all about him. And I'm just thankful to be one of those that he's been pleased to teach of himself and cause me as a poor sinner to look to Christ alone and his finished work, and therein I rest. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the elements. And as we partake, may we indeed partake in remembrance of your Son. We know that he is everything to you. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, you declared. And Lord, we're thankful that by your Spirit you've enabled us to enter in and to acknowledge Him and own Him and glorify Him for all He is and all He's done. And we're mindful to give You the praise, glory, and honor in His precious name. Amen.